Okay. Are we ready to go?
Yes.
Yeah, cool. First some information in the beginning. I was asked to come here 4 times in January, this Tuesday and the next 3 Tuesdays, which I will try to do and see whether I can create some kind of introduction course, introduction for meditation. Just as Rachel said, I'm from Norway, been here for 9.5 years, eight of those years as a bhikkhu, and
excuse
1 year as a...
Sorry.
We've got a really noisy air conditioner above us.
Can you
yeah,
turn it off?
No, we have no control over
them. It's
too hot.
Difficult to hear me?
Yes.
Can you go just slightly louder?
I have to start screaming.
No, you're a lot
no,
worse.
Okay. I try to raise my voice a bit. Background, as she said, from Norway. Been here for 9.5 years in total. I'm not that skilled yet in teaching. But I'm trying now to... the senior monk in the monastery is starting to send me out to develop skills in teaching. I think it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have lots of things to say, but I don't have that much practice yet in doing that in a skillful way. But I think it'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
The focus, these four Tuesdays, will be an introduction for beginners. So I'm going to make it easy and a bit step by step, and lots of room for questions. And as Rachel said, especially for beginners, the prioritization is for those who are new, so you can ask questions. Those who are senior, have been here for many years, you just close your mouth. And the big picture, what I would try to teach, the focus will be basically happiness and peace, contentment, like an antidote for stress and worries and mental suffering you might have. Normally, as Rachel said, there will be some talk in the beginning and then a meditation session and a talk afterwards, but today it will be a bit different. The first time I will be speaking quite much in the beginning, and then we'll do 2 short sessions of meditation in the end. And it will be a really kind of simple introduction to meditation. Get the right attitude and the right kind of position inside in meditation. And this thing we call meditation, it is basically a skill you can develop to get this peace and happiness and contentment and also wisdom about life. What I wish to do now is to talk about a bit freely and try to give you a little map of a long journey and where a spiritual journey might go. I will not kind of linger that too long, because it can go really high up and be really amazing stuff and then come back to where we are. But I just want to say a few things, because for beginners it might be strange, the whole idea of meditation. Why just sit down and kind of meditate? What's the point? Yeah, we can get a bit more peaceful and happy, but it's kind of like, so what? It's not that. What's the point? Why are we doing this for? And then maybe we can have questions after that little talk I give. I remember quite many years ago when I was in Norway, I went to business school in Norway, and me and 3 other friends, we rented a big apartment in the city. and so we shared an apartment to save money as kind of poor students. And one of my friends, he brought like a really nice hi-fi system, a stereo, into our apartment. It was really a really nice nice system. And one of the features I remember from that his hi-fi system was that it had an equalizer and a graph. So you see, you know, there are like five bars going up and down on the hi-fi system, which showed, which went up and down based on the music, what kind of frequencies the music was playing. And it went up and down and up and down and up and down, and had five bars. So, and later on, that was for me coming here like a simile of the life we're living with the five senses, which goes up and down and up and down and up and down. We see things, we hear things, we smell things, we taste things, and we have touch. And from those senses, we get pleasure. We get kind of happiness as a human being. But those kind of five senses, just like the bars on that equalizer, just goes up and down and up and down and up and down. Sometimes it's kind of fun, sometimes it's not so fun. Sometimes it's good food, sometimes it's kind of awful food. Sometimes it's nice music, sometimes it's kind of traffic noise in the background. Sometimes you see a beautiful kind of mountain landscape. Sometimes you see an industrial dump in a city. And that's kind of life. As a human being, we have these five senses, and what we do mostly is try to squeeze as much happiness and pleasure we can from those five senses. So we try to get as good food as possible, as much comfort as possible, only nice music, and we have thick walls to avoid the noise from the traffic. And that's what we do as a human being. And in that way, we're maximizing our happiness. We're trying to do that. But for me, that equalizer, that graph on that hi-fi stereo isn't the full picture. If you take that graph and make a 3D and you create a row behind, so there's two rows, there's in the first row there are five bars going up and down, your five senses, but behind there's also a row, but there's only one bar, and it's as wide as those five, and that one also goes up and down. There's a bar behind those five bars which goes up and down to your life, and that bar is the mind or your heart, and that goes up and down, and you can call that for kind of just happiness or your mood, and sometimes you're depressed and that bar goes really low down, and sometimes you're really happy and it goes high up, and that bar in the background goes up and down, maybe more slow. It's not as fast as the five in the front. That bar in the background is what we're going to focus on here. And that is nothing to do with those five senses. Your kind of mental happiness, or your heart, or your mind, is independent of your senses. So you can take that mind or heart of yours and lift it really high up and create an inner happiness independent of your senses. And if you look at this in this 3D graph I have in my mind, that background, it doesn't just go 3 or 4 centimeters up, it can go up a meter. So if you have your max kind of happiness in food, bodily comfort, seeing things, nice things, hearing nice music, you get this much happiness out of that. But this mind of yours, this heart of yours, which is kind of in the background, which people normally don't see, can go 1 meter up. And that's what we do as monks. We're putting all our focus to develop that background mood, background happiness, which is inside of us all. But it's not so easy to do. I remember first time I went to a retreat in Norway. There were two monks coming from here, from Australia. They came to Norway to do a 9 days retreat. And I got some instructions from the senior monk here, which is, his name is Ajahn Brahm. Most of you have heard of him. And I started to play around with that myself. I didn't really know what I was doing. I was just kind of interested in what kind of senior monk has to say. And he was pointing at this mind, this heart, and to develop that and develop happiness. And I started to play around with that. And a few doors opened up inside, which really amazed me. I was at business school. I was kind of studying hardcore economics, finance, management, kind of what you call a strategy, business strategy. And then I started to do this meditation stuff to develop my mind. And I was blown away. I went to this retreat, a 9 days retreat, with two monks from this monastery in Serpentine. And after a few days of being part of that retreat and doing lots of meditation in a really good setting with lots of kindness and lots of peace and solitude, my mind and the happiness in my mind really, really, really started to kind of grow and develop. I remember I was staying inside one of the sleeping rooms in this retreat center, and I was watching out the window. It was just like a boring window, old building. I'm watching out there and I saw a row of trees. And it was probably the most beautiful sight I've seen in my whole life. It was just a row of trees blowing in the wind, and everything was magic. It was so beautiful. My mind was so happy. I was so energized. And that happiness I could develop by meditation was far, by far, better than anything else I kind of had from my senses, and my fun, and my play, and my hobbies, and my food, and my movies, and my vacations. And the level of joy, you can call it bliss, really, really went high up. In this graph, this equalizer, I can get like 3 or 4 or 5 centimeter up with food, but I got like 0.5 meter up just with my mind. The happiness I got out of meditation was manifold, many, many times better than what I could get through my senses. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, the senior monk of our monastery went to, I don't remember where he went. Somewhere in Asia, I think. And he did a 9 days retreat. And one of the guys in that retreat had a good retreat. And another monk in our monastery asked him, like, so how was your retreat? Well, he said he experienced something which was 1,000 times stronger than a sexual orgasm. That was his words. This background bar I'm talking about can go so high up. And when you're high up there in your mind, when you're inside yourself and you're really, really happy, and there's lots of harmony and joy, all this fun you have from your senses is so kind of unimportant. So this practice we're doing here with meditation has enormous potential, and it goes much, much further than you maybe think. I remember I sat down outside at the retreat center when I did my first retreat. I just sat down on the ground with lots of stones and pebbles. I just sat down, and when I sat down, it was just like I had this thought that this is amazing. I found this one spot outside in the garden which was perfectly matched to my body. It was like sitting down in the best chair you use in front of your TV. It was so comfortable. And I was looking at the grass, and the grass was neon green. It was radiating. And I just didn't understand where is all this happiness coming from? How can I go to a weird retreat and two weird monks coming from Australia to Norway? And as all these things start to happen to my mind. And I remember a couple of days, maybe a week after that retreat, I went back to the retreat center. After being back to normal life, kind of chasing my senses and trying to get happiness out of my senses again, and going back there, and I sat down on the ground in the same place where I sat during the retreat, where everything was fantastic. And I sat down, and I just, after 1 second, I have to rise up again. The ground was impossible to sit on. It was so sharp and so uneven, so hard. But when I sat there with a nice mind, it was so beautiful. It was nice. So even this bodily discomfort, when your mind has lots of energy, it doesn't matter. The year after, I went to the retreat as well, and the first thing I did was to run into that room where I was looking through the window and saw this rows of trees outside, this most fantastic thing I've seen in my whole life. And what I saw was this ugly room, dirty windows, and outside, some trees, yeah, but what's special with this? It's just some stupid trees. And the windows was kind of, yeah. And I realized that it was not the trees which were beautiful. It was not the room which was beautiful. It was not the ground or the grass which were beautiful. What was beautiful was my mind. So when you develop your mind, you really do it properly with good instructions from good teachers, you can really do good stuff with your heart. You really get an uplift of energy, a recharge, a place where you can kind of refocus and get that happiness, the real happiness, which you basically are searching for in your senses. You try to squeeze as much happiness you can out of food and relationships and vacations and sports and hobbies, and you get some happiness there. But if you instead of try to set your focus on your mind or your heart, and you develop that systematically, really try to, the upside, the fun, the pleasure you get out of that is on a complete different level. What we're going to do here is not up there. This will be like an introduction. But all of the things I'm going to say is to put you and your mind in the right direction. It's the same tools we use, and it's not that much different what different monks are teaching. Does this sound weird? Especially, no.
Sounds good.
Sounds good, yeah.
Yeah.
Those who are new here. I remember after that retreat, I sent an email from Norway to this monk here in Australia, and I told him, like, what? How can it be that you can put your bum on a cushion on the floor a few days, and you get much more happiness out of that compared to kind of having sex with your partner and having fun and party as a young man? I just couldn't. It wasn't for me and my background and where I come from and my education. It's something which shouldn't be possible, but it is. And especially those of you who are new here, kind of hear this kind of stories, it's probably difficult to understand. I think the senior monk in our monastery, Ajahn Ajahn Brahm, he runs quite many of those 9 days retreats. And I think more or less every retreat he does, there's at least one or two persons who really go high up in their mind. They develop, they use the retreat well, they get good instructions, and they get basically blown away. And they kind of change their lifestyle a bit. The result of this is that people start, those kind of experiences you can get give you some indication on where you can put your effort in life for happiness. When there's so much more to get, just purely from your heart, of your mind, the result of that is you tend to put less and less effort into squeezing happiness out of your senses and out of your body, because there's so much more to get from a good heart, from a bright mind, from a happy mind. Any comments on this from those who are new? Nobody dares to ask a question. I guess many of you have been here for a while. You've heard stories like this before. What time is it now? So we have to stop. When was it? We have to stop.
8:30.
8:30. So we have 1 hour. Okay. What I would try to do is to do 2 short sessions of meditation. I don't know, 10 minutes each, maybe 15 minutes. Normally, it's half an hour. Is it continuously?
Yeah, do 2:15.
Yeah, 2:15s. And I think what we normally do, we turn off the light slowly, and we close our eyes, and we try to put the body into a very comfortable position. The happiness I'm talking about in your mind is a result of stillness in your mind. To be able to let your mind calm down, just like a lake of water, where there are no waves or no ripples. It's just really still. Normally, the biggest hindrance in the beginning for meditation is thinking. I think there is this nice, there are, if you compare meditation, if you want to get your mind to be still, like a lake, and clear and pure, like water, there's like five, there's three or four similes which kind of helps and guide your mind in a direction. If you have anger in your will, that's like boiling water. You create lots of disturbances inside, and it's hot and it's bubbling. So we try to stop anger. We let that go. And if you have a restless mind, you create lots of ripples and waves on your mind. So we try to stop restlessness. If you have doubt, you will end up doing lots of thinking. What are we doing? Why are we doing this? How do we do this? And thinking, this is doubt. So we try to stop this doubt and we try to stop this thinking. And by doing that, the doubt will disappear because you start to understand yourself. So in meditation, we are going to try to let all the thinking and all the movements in the mind to calm down slowly. The less movements there are in the mind, the less anger, the less desire, the less restlessness there is, the more your mind will calm down. And if you combine a calm mind with inspiration, virtue, goodness, helping, if you have those two together, if you have calm and a good heart, the result of that is joy, which will start to develop in your mind. For most people, in the beginning, the problem is the thinking. So this first session, I want to do it really, really simple. The goal of this first 15 minutes is just to put your body into a comfortable position, as comfortable as possible, and close your eyes and put yourself in the back seat and just watch what is going on in your mind. Just see the thoughts. Don't do anything. Don't ride those thoughts. Don't try to push them or pull them. Just let them be. See whether you can be at peace with the thoughts. Don't try to get rid of them. Don't try to push them away. Just accept them. You're not able to create peace in your mind. You cannot create peace and happiness in your mind. But you can give your mind a chance to create that itself. Peace, contentment, and happiness is in your mind if you are able to let things calm down by itself. So please try now. Just close your eyes, relax. If you have any belts who are tight, just make it as comfortable as possible. And set yourself in the back seat of the car and see whether you can be mindful just that. Just sit there in the back seat of your life or your inner world and see the thoughts. Don't create thoughts. Don't pull the thoughts. Don't be annoyed by them. Just accept them. And see all these thoughts coming, arising up in your mind, staying there, and then they disappear. And there's normally another one coming straight afterwards, like a train. There's a train of thought. This thought leads to that thought, which leads to that thought. And just watch. This is 50 minutes of just accepting your mind how it is now and not changing anything. Just being with those thoughts and let them do whatever they want. Don't do anything at all except watching. Whatever thoughts, whatever emotions, whatever fear, suffering, whatever there is in the mind, just watch. Don't interfere. Do not change anything. Just let your mind play its games. And you are just sitting in the audience watching your heart or your mind playing out its activities. just be an observer and let your mind do whatever it wants. Whatever story your mind is telling you, just listen. Nothing more than just listen and see what your mind is doing. Whatever is going on in your mind, just let it be. whatever arises in your mind, just see it, be aware of it, and just see that it's here for a while, and then it disappears, and then something else arises. Just observe. for those of you who wish to, you can just keep your eyes closed. We've done 50 minutes now. And for those who wants to, can open your eyes. But we keep the light down. I'm going to read out a little, five short paragraphs from an ancient story. And then we're going to do another short session like this, with a little difference, with a small difference. I'm going to read out four short paragraphs, which are 2,500 years old. It's translated into English, and I'm just going to read it out with a few small adjustments. It's a simile for somebody who is seeking happiness in life. There are these three urgent tasks for a farmer. What three? First, the farmer swiftly yet thoroughly plows the field, and swiftly yet thoroughly harrows it. Next, he swiftly sows seeds, and then he swiftly irrigates and drains the field. These are the three urgent tasks of a farmer. But this farmer, he has no power. He has no might by which he could command, "Let my crops start growing today. Let them mature tomorrow. Let them bear grain the day after tomorrow." But with the change of seasons, there comes a time when the crops grow, they mature, and they bear grain. So too, there are these three urgent tasks for a seeker of happiness. What three? The undertaking of training in virtuous behavior. The undertaking of training in the mind, which is meditation. The undertaking of training in wisdom. These are the three urgent tasks for those who are seeking happiness. But this seeker of happiness has no power. He has no might by which he could command. Let my mind be liberated from suffering today. Let my mind be liberated from suffering tomorrow, or the day after tomorrow. Rather, as this seeker of happiness trains in virtuous behavior, he trains his mind in meditation, and he trains to gain wisdom, there comes an occasion when his mind is happy, is liberated from suffering. Therefore, you should train yourself, have a keen interest in virtuous behavior, developing a virtuous behavior. to undertake the training in meditation, developing your mind. And a desire to undertake the training of developing wisdom. That is the way to train yourself towards a happy mind. Developing virtue, goodness, developing meditation and wisdom. Are there any questions from those who are relatively new? Is this confusing? Please ask now before we do a second short round. Nobody dares to ask a question. And that is okay. Then I think we just go to the second short meditation. And there is one thing I want you to add to this meditation compared to the first. And it's very simple. What I tried to make you do in the first meditation was just to be passive. Just look what's going on in your mind and just accept that and don't do anything. Don't pull your thoughts or your concerns or your suffering. Don't push it. Don't change it. Just let it be just as it is. Just be aware. That is what I tried to make you do the first time. Acceptance. What I want you to try to do the second time, we do another 15 minutes, is to do the same. But put yourself in the back seat, close your eyes, and see what's going on in your mind. But in addition to that, just imagine that you have one of those spray bottles you have with soap. So when you're in your home, you have this soapy kind of bottle and you go and you spray things to get away of all the dirt. See whether you can have a spray bottle of goodness, of kindness inside. And whatever comes up in your mind, all your thoughts, or your worries, or your concerns, or your fears, or whatever it is going on in your mind, see whether you can find this spray bottle with your goodness inside and spray in your mind those thoughts with that magic potion, goodness, kindness, acceptance. Deliberately, the only thing you're supposed to do, just watch what's going on in your mind, and when you see it, spray something good on those thoughts. Nothing more. Don't change anything. Don't make it bigger or smaller. The only thing you need to do is to add your own goodness onto it. As soon as you see something, spray it with your inner reserve of kindness and acceptance. So if it's a person you're thinking about, spray that person with goodwill, kindness. Whatever it is, set yourself in the back seat, watch what's going on, don't do anything, and add somehow some kind of acceptance, goodwill, love, caring. But only that. Don't change anything. Just accept with kindness and caring. And we try to do that in about 15 minutes. Please just close your eyes again. See whether you can put your body into a nice position of comfort. Put yourself in the back seat again. And just see what's going on in your mind. Just as you're sitting in a car and seeing what's going on outside your car. Just be an observer for your mind. And whatever you see through the windows inside, just spray it with something good from you, from deep inside of yourself. Only that. And then let it go. And then another thing will arise. Spray that as well. And that will disappear, and another thought, or another worry, or another concern, spray that as well. See where you can do that. Don't disturb, don't change, just accept what's going on. And change your own attitude inside. Add goodness to what you see. Kindness. I'm going to ring the bell now 3 times, and after the third, then you can open your eyes. I don't have so much more to say today. What we've done today is what I kind of planned to do. And it, I think there's only 5 minutes left until we have to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And normally you need a couple of minutes to kind of finish things off.
You could just ask them about how, what it was like for them.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah. Okay, she asked a question. How was it? Especially for those who you are new and not done that, not so much meditation in the past. How did you experience it? Anybody has any comments? It just means everybody's really happy. Or maybe not. No, I don't know. So the intention or the idea is that the next 3 Tuesdays I will come back and I will gradually kind of add to this meditation sessions new ways, new angles, new ideas. So you have some short experiences here which you can take home and use and develop yourself. I tried to do it really simple this time, and then there's more the next 3 Tuesdays to come. Any feedback or ideas? If you have some complaints, just Rachel, not me.